We can be motivated by shame. We're doing things to try and work into God's good books. We can be here, or we can be motivated by fear. And we can be motivated by pride. But God wants to live in the grace and freedom of Christ. And we must understand more and more that we are forgiven for everything. He has given us everything as well. Not only are we forgiven, because that's just the start of our journey in God, but we are given everything. That's the grace gift of God. He gives us everything that we need for life and for godliness. And we don't have to have a set of rules to live by just to please God. But when we begin to understand the grace of God, when we begin to see what that means for us individually, that motivates us to do everything that we need to do as believers. Just have to excuse me, my throat's going. We might be finishing early today. Well, sometimes as Christians, we can live feeling that we failed to reach expectations, that we're not really where we should be, we're not quite up to the mark, that we've let God down quite a lot. And we can be motivated then to do things that make us feel better. We try hard to live to God's standards, but it leads very often to us trying harder, because trying hard doesn't always get us to where we want to be. We try to make ourselves right with God by doing good works, and good works are a good thing to do, but they don't pay the debt. They don't deal with the guilt that very often we can carry in our lives. And Paul said this in Galatians 2:16. Know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have to put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. By grace you've been saved, not by works. We know that here, don't we? We know that our salvation is through grace. It's not through effort on our own behalf. It's not based on who we are or our successes in life. It's based on God's grace gift to us. But somehow we can get caught up in the wrong thinking that we have to do things to earn God's grace. Here's a question for you. I'm not going to ask you to answer it. You can answer it internally. Do you think God will only bless you when you are doing well as a Christian? That's a good question, that, isn't it? Will God only bless you when you're doing well as a Christian? Are you nagged by thoughts that God is distant and disapproving? We can be in that place, can't we, where we've failed? And we think that God is a long way off and he's not happy with us. Do you make vows to work harder to please God? In the natural, those are the kind of things we try and do. I've got it wrong this time. I'm going to work really hard to get it right. And we can be skewed in our understanding of who God is. Sometimes imagine him like Father Christmas. He's coming to town, he's making a list of who's been naughty and who's been nice. And as believers, we can have that kind of thinking within us, that God will only bless me if I'm good. If I'm naughty, he will withdraw all his goodness, all his grace from me. And when we think like that, it motivates us to be fearful about God, about what he's trying to do in our lives. And we try harder because we want to receive the gifts that he's got for us. Romans 5:17 says this. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, he's talking about Adam there, because of Adam, we all entered life in sin. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? By Jesus' obedience, we are all put right with God. It's done for everyone who has ever lived. Because of the sacrifice of Christ, because of his grace gift, it's all dealt with. Jesus cried out on the cross, didn't he? It is finished. I've paid the price for sin. We no longer live in guilt. And Romans 8:1 reminds us of that. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if you this morning are beginning to feel that you fall into one of these categories, there is no condemnation for you. That's the grace of God. And it's just that it just is a weight lifter offers. Because so often we feel in life that as we're going through and we feel we're failing as a Christian, we're not doing the things that we feel we should be doing. We try to do more, but sometimes you just got to stop and understand God's grace says there's no condemnation. God is not condemning you for anything. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You can leave here this morning in peace, knowing that your true guilt is gone forever. It's gone. It's gone. It does not exist anymore. That's what the word tells us, that as far as the east is from the west, so far is my sin removed from me. But somehow we keep a hold of it and we keep pulling it back, because this grace gift is almost so amazing that we can't believe it. But we've sung about it this morning, this amazing grace gift that we do have. See, because our salvation is through Christ Jesus, in Christ, all of God's expectations are met. So it's not about us, it's about what he's done for us. It's about the fact that he died for us, and as God looks at us, we have this filter, don't we, called Jesus Christ, and in us he sees all that Christ has done for us. He's not looking at our abilities. And we do get it wrong. I do. Quite regularly. I know you don't think I do, but I do. And I'm sure you do as well. When we get it wrong. And straight away, the enemy gets in there and he really sticks the boot in. When we get it wrong, we know we've got it wrong. We feel really miserable. And if we don't put things right in the right way, it becomes a burden upon us because we're not living in the grace of God. Once we step outside of the grace of God and start living on our own abilities and on our own understanding, we have a weight that will come upon us. But God doesn't want us to be in that place. He wants us to live in his grace. So when we get it wrong, the Holy Spirit, convicts the world of sin. So when we get it wrong, the Holy Spirit will let us know. But he's not doing that to make us feel bad. He's doing that so that we have opportunity to put things right. All we need to do is confess that we've got it wrong. That's it. And his grace is sufficient in that moment. It takes away whatever it is we're confessing. And we can walk in the freedom of the truth of who God is. And our intimacy with God is restored. There's nothing better, is there, than restoring a relationship that's been broken or stretched. That moment when you realise that it's okay. And this morning I just want to remind you that your relationship with God is okay. We can live in his grace this morning. When we are motivated by guilt and shame, it drives us to places that are unhealthy and unscriptural. Guilt is simply getting things wrong by the law. So when we break the law, we are guilty. It's a legal terminology into you are guilty of whatever you've been charged with. And shame tells us that there's something wrong with me. I am the mistake. If we're not careful, our shame just becomes such a heavy burden for us. We get painful feelings about ourselves. We can feel humiliated. We get distressed about who we are. But God has removed that from us. That's His grace. God's remedy for shame is His grace. If you're feeling full of shame this morning, I want to tell you that it's not in the Bible anywhere, because He gives us the opposite of shame. He gives us freedom. He gives us release from all those feelings, and we get a new identity in Him. 2 Corinthians 5 says this: God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. God took all our sin, our unclean nature, our shame away through the sacrifice of Jesus. He paid the price, and we now share in God's divine nature. When we were looking at the Holy Spirit, we're saying that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. We are where God lives. He lives in our heart. And so we become, or He becomes part of our nature, and we become part of His nature. He lives in us. And that's how He wants us to live, living in His divine nature, in His freedom and His grace. 2 Peter 1:4 says this: though through these He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you might participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. See, when God lives in us, we are changed, we are transformed. We're no longer of this world, we're of the kingdom of heaven. And He begins to change who we are. We begin to work in His divine nature. And 2 Corinthians tells us if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old has gone, the new is coming. What a great thought that is. That as we look to our past, we go, it's gone that. God is creating something new in me. Day by day, we are being created new. He's doing new things in us. As Christians, those who have put their faith in Christ, we can now enter a deep relationship with God in the full assurance that we are accepted as we are. So many people who come to church go, I'm not good enough to be here. I'm not good enough. I'm a sinner. I am not worthy. And I understand that, because sometimes our message is one that is quite brutal. When we call our communities full of sin, no hope, you're going to hell, all that kind of stuff. The messages that, if we're not careful, we carry. God wants us to carry the message of His grace. He wants us to live in His grace so that we can demonstrate what it looks like to be full of Him, to be set free. Because of what Christ did, He has filled our hearts with His love and His grace. It's not about what we've done. If you're hiding from God this morning, you don't have to. He's paid the price. He wants to be part of who you are. He wants to create you new. He wants you to experience this fullness of His joy and His peace. That's what He came to do. We can now draw near to God. So I don't know what you're thinking now, but I just want the Holy Spirit to minister to you and understand the grace of God. It's not about you, it's about what He's done. It's not about what you think about Him, it's about how much He loves you. It's not about carrying this weight of feelings of separation or shame or guilt, because that's dealt with, it's gone. That is the grace of God. It's not about who you've been, because that's gone. He loves us no matter what. And as believers, He loves us no matter what. And sometimes we have a super fine sensitivity to getting it wrong. But you know what? God just wants to pour His grace into your life. He wants to set you free. He wants you to be experiencing all that He has for you. And sometimes we've got to get past our own thinking And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us. Hebrews 10:19-22. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. We've got to live in faith and believe what the Bible says. The Bible's saying that we can draw near to God with a sincere heart. Our sin has been dealt with. Our guilty consciences are gone. That is the truth of the Bible. And we've got to learn to live by faith. We are a faith community. We have a faith relationship with God. And as we put our trust and our faith in him, then he opens up our hearts and our lives to his grace. But we've got to trust God. Trust God this morning as we just break bread together. I want to remind you in Romans 8:1, it says, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You may have to do some things to put things right. But that's easy, you just confess. It says if we confess, he will forgive. And he puts us right. And when he forgives, he forgets. Sometimes we have real problems forgetting. I love that scripture that Paul talks about himself where he says, forgetting all the stuff that's gone on, I've got to press on. And sometimes we can't forget the stuff that we've done. It kind of draws us back, it holds on to us. It becomes a real heavy experience when we reflect on our past. But Paul had to be disciplined and go, the past is dealt with. God has told me that it is gone. And I've got to press on to all that God has got for me. Even though I'm a new creation and I understand that, I still remember the old creation. And we have this battle within. But that's why God places faith in our hearts to see that God can deal with all that. He sets us free from that guilt. He forgives and he wants to give us all that he has for us. That is the grace of God. And that's why when we sing Your Grace, it amazes me. Because we look at our lives and we go, how can anybody love me? But God does, unconditionally. That's his grace. Even if you think about the worst things that you've ever done, you go, how can anybody love this? I want to tell you this morning that God does. And he wants to live in your heart. He wants you to receive the fullness of his grace and just live a glorious life that reflects the new DNA that we pick up in God. So we're just going to break bread together. This is his grace gift to us. This is what he came to do. He came to die. That our sin is forgiven. That's the grace of God. And this is just symbolic. So let this speak to you this morning as we just break bread together. And the bread represents his body that was broken for us. But the true story behind it is the love that God has got for us and the fact that death couldn't hold him, that he was raised from the dead. He overcame the power of sin and death. And this morning, sin is broken in our lives. Sin is forgiven. And God has put in there love and grace and truth. So let's just believe it as we break bread this morning.